In the name of the one God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. My name is Will Hood, and I would say I'm from a foreign country, but I'm really just from here. It's good to be with you today. Thank you for letting me come and worship with you. I did live in a foreign country once, and in a foreign city called New Orleans, Louisiana. Maybe you've heard of it. They speak rather funny there, or they at least thought I did. And I went there after the storm, after Katrina, and they gave me this parish and school and said, "Can you fix it?" It had been under 12 feet of water. It was a mess. But we reclaimed the school and we reclaimed the parish, and it rebuilt, and it was beautiful and wonderful. And for a while, I had to be both rector, chief builder, contractor, and head of school. And probably one of my favorite jobs was head of school, but doing chapel for school. And it was always wonderful, and it was a great occasion. And I never knew, it was so fluid, you never knew what was going to happen. It was exciting and dynamic, and the kids always made me be on my A game. And my religion teacher said, "Father Hood, I need you to come, and I need you at chapel next week to speak on the Trinity." And I went, "We don't have enough time." At doctrine and this feast day that we celebrate, the feast day of the Trinity, of the Holy Trinity, I was baffled. I wasn't sure what to do, so I dusted off my books and I called friends and teachers and got as much information as I could. And the best thing I could come up with is I brought an apple. Maybe you've heard this illustration, into church and into chapel. And I said, "You know, the Holy Trinity, God, is like this apple. It's three parts and one thing. It's got the skin. It's got the meat that we all enjoy. And it's got the seeds. It's three parts and one item. It's one thing, all gathered together. God is like the apple." And from about midway back in chapel, I heard this small kindergarten said, "Is Father Hood saying God's an apple?" Probably. I probably did. But the reality is, on this feast day, sometimes we as preachers want to make it too simple, or we want to show you how smart we are, like I used to do as a young priest. And my father, some of you may remember my dad, who was Episcopal priest at St. Christopher's. Well, at least when I had hair and knew some of y'all. He used to say, "You know, Will, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care." And the reality is, that's the truth about God. Sometimes we want to put God in this box and define and gnash down and really work at defining God and what God looks like and how it's supposed to be expressed. And if we don't get it just right, you're not part of the club. But that's not the gospel. The danger of this feast day is that we want to make it too hard or too simple, and we may miss the point. We may miss the point about the beauty and the depth and the grace and the love of a God who is expressed in such a beautiful way. It's full, and it's awesome, and it's to be with, not capture and try to tame. You see, it's about a God who creates, being at the center, and a God, despite ourselves, who seeks to forgive and redeem. And a God of the Holy Spirit who seeks to sustain and remind us that we're not alone. That there is grace and love and sustainment and presence here and now. I have heroes in my life. Maybe you have a few too. And one of my heroes is a woman by the name of Sarah Miles. Anybody know her? Anybody read her books? She's written a wonderful piece called "Take This Bread." Sarah grew up in a very agnostic probably even atheistic home as she describes it. She was educated. She was incredibly intellectual, bright, articulate. She became a writer for AP and UPI. And she covered some of the worst places in the world. Combat missions, heroic revolutions, terrible places. Places I've seen and I've been. Where people bled and died and there was no understanding of what was going on. Terrible places, hard things. She relied on her intellect. She relied on her wisdom. She relied on herself. One day, however, as she was walking about in San Francisco, this bright, articulate, combat-hardened veteran ended up at Grace Cathedral. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a beautiful place. It's awe-inspiring. They have a labyrinth. It is a holy place. She doesn't say this in her book, and I've never got her to admit it. But my suspicion is, like me, she was looking for a quiet place. You see, some of us who have seen it, who've experienced it, who've been bled on, Walmart, crowded places, they're tough. They're hard. There's so much going on our brains, and my suspicion is she was just looking for a respite. And like some Episcopal churches, it tends to be a little quiet and sometimes a little empty. She happened to wander in during noontime Eucharist into the quiet, into the sanctuary, into the safety of Grace Episcopal Church. As she sat there, she was able to breathe. Have you ever had those moments where you just couldn't breathe? Where life had caved in on you so much that it was hard just to even catch your breath? I don't know about you, but I have. And she sat and she breathed. And for whatever reason compelled her, maybe the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, she went up. Hands open like a beggar. Nothing to trade with God. Hands open. Received bread. Received a sip of wine. And if you read her book or you have the opportunity to engage her in a conversation, she will tell you at that moment, everything changed. At that moment, she encountered the one in three and the three in one. The God who at the core of her being created her. The God in Christ who offered her sustenance and bread and forgiveness and hope and grace. Who fed her and redeemed her. And God of the Holy Spirit who helped her just catch her breath. The Trinity, the one in three, the three in one. She came as a beggar with nothing to trade. And God showed up. God showed up in His full person, in His full majesty, in His full Trinity. And there was healing, and there was forgiveness, and grace. She was broken, and healed, and delivered, and fed, to go on to be so transformed that she has a ministry at St. Gregory's where she feeds the homeless and the hungry and the hurting, embodying the one in three and the three in one, the Trinity. Wine blessed, bread broken, God delivered. Perhaps what we're really called here to celebrate is that we have a place to encounter the one in three. For a moment out of our crazy, chaotic week, we have this place where we come and we gather and we sit, and hopefully you catch your breath. That you breathe with the rhythm of God's presence. that you receive the blessing of forgiveness and reconciliation and redemption. That you remember that you were created and that you are God's and God's own forever. That we gather to understand within ourselves that there are mysteries that are just a little too hard to explain. But as we gather and we sit and we breathe, we know and we hope and we have faith that it's real. For me, the Trinity is that incredible demonstration of a God who loves us, who created us, who seeks to forgive me despite my sin and my brokenness, and then sustains me with hope and grace and love. A radical expression of love. Maybe that's how we define the Trinity. A radical expression of God's love that's so hard to put words around. That forever changed Sarah. And I believe and I hope and I trust seeks to change you and me. My hope this week is that you will stop. That you will stop for just a moment amongst the madness of your life. That you will breathe. That you will remember that you are created. That you are loved. You are forgiven. And you are sustained. And then go forth like Sarah. Radically changed. To share, to enjoy, to impart this graceful thing called the Trinity. So in the name of the one God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, Amen.